thing. Pretty hard to live, amen? Amen. Well, we're glad to have your day. Take your Bible, please. Been in a series of messages for the last 2 weeks. This is the third week on three basic godly the basics of godly life. If you can learn those five basics, you're really going to be a champion. First of all, knowledge. We ought to have knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of God. And then, of course, we started with faith last week. Haven't finished that yet. Going to grab a little bit of that, take it with us today. And then the next one is love. And, of course, that's what that song was all about. That's what the Scripture is all about. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then love thy neighbor as thyself, which hang all the commandments. And so you remember now the Bible in the Ten Commandments. First four commandments had to do with the children of Israel, what they did with God. They were not to have any other idols before them and so on. Make no image. Then the last six have to do with our relationship between each other. How we ought to love our neighbor as ourself. That's probably the hardest if you got a neighbor like mine. But anyway, no, I don't have to create neighbors, amen. So I just know some of your neighbors. But anyway, and then love, and then obedience. You get a hold of that obedience. A lot of people have a hard time with obedience. You know, parents have a hard time getting their kids to obey, but the parents are unwilling to obey what the Bible says. And so no wonder your children got... All right, anyway, I'll get to that in a little bit. And then perseverance. Just trudge on. I like that. He said, and our pastor's been here so long. You weren't even born when I came here, brother, amen? And so long, so amen. I don't want to be so long. I want to be so going on, amen. So perseverance. So as a born-again Christian, if you can understand the meaning of these five words, knowledge, faith, love, obedience, and perseverance, you can be a champion for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, Christianity is a very simple religion. Very simple. You know, 75% of it just showing up to church, amen. It's just simple. It's very simple. Simplicity of salvation. What do? You believe. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross on the third day. And you ask Him to forgive your sins. And we all know that. That's not hard to figure out. Amen. You spend a couple hours with me, you'll find out I'm a sinner. And I'll spend 2 minutes with you, and I know you're a sinner. But anyway, our lives, you know, we know that. So salvation is very simple. Number one, I am a sinner. Number two, I need a Savior. Number three, He will save me if I only trust, faith, believe in Him. That's simple. Ask Him to forgive my sins. Ask Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. That's a simple thing. Salvation is very simple. It's very simplistic. But also it's very profound. All the thing has to do with it. If we observe these basics of Christian life, we'll make it. First of all, we talk about knowledge. I'm going to just give you a little background there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Paul the Apostle, I have a sermon on that I may know Him and how important it is to know God. And when we know God and know that He is not a liar, He cannot lie. And when He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that is a truism. That is concreted, and you can't lose that. Amen. So when a person gets saved, God said, I'll save you forever. These things have I written unto you that may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So that is... that I may know Him. Some other things we spoke about, get fully acquainted with His nature, His character, His work, His salvation, which He worked out for us, died on the cross so that we could go to heaven someday, and He rose from the grave. And should it be, and it must be, the highest object and desire in the mind of a Christian is to know God. I need to know God. I need to know everything about Him, everything I can find out about Him. So the more I know, the more comfort I get. Some of you guys start a new job, and you walk into the job, and you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing, and what you should touch and what you shouldn't touch, and the levers you should pull and the levers you shouldn't pull, and how you clock in and how you clock out, and how do you represent the company. There's a lot of things about it that, you know, we need knowledge about that. Amen. Same way with Christianity. We should realize that our object and the greatest passion and desire in my heart is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to know him. Secondly, last week we spoke on faith. And faith is described as the substance over there, Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, which in general are things unseen that we have not yet enjoyed. But Jesus Christ will come. Then they will be enjoyed, the hope that we have today. This faith, this real joy that will come because God does not and cannot lie. He said, you have faith in me, you trust in me, I will save you forever. He also, the things that are hoped for, you know, there's a lot of things that are hoped for. Remember a story, last night I went over this sermon again and I thought, you know, I remember a story, Dr. Hiles, he tells a story about his mom. And when he was in town, he'd see her every day when he was in town. And one day, he came to her apartment, and she faintly said, come in. And when he got into the apartment, she said, Jackie boy, I'm dying. And she said, I love you, son, and you have been a good boy to your mama. You take care of yourself. And as he listened, as Dr. Howell listened to his mother, he realized that she did not have anything to look forward to. After the visit, he called his secretary and told her to buy two tickets for his mom and his sister, Erlene, to fly to Dallas, Texas. And he called some of his family down in Texas and he asked them, would you put on a big birthday party for mom? And the next day, he came over to see his mom, and mom was still on her deathbed, remember? he said, you know, mom, he said, the family down in Texas wants to put on you a big party for your birthday. And I bought you and Earlene a ticket. And he said, I left it on the dresser drawer. And after I spent time with her and prayed, I left. He said, the next day, Dr. Howell stopped in. To his surprise, a miracle had happened. His mom was up scurrying around getting things ready and packing. He said, Mom, I thought you were dying. Jackie boy, she said, I can't die. I've got a birthday party to go to down there in Texas, and I don't want to disappoint them kinfolk. Dr. Hiles said that he attributed her living a long life after that because she had something to look forward to. He also said it cost him another number of tickets to Texas, too, but folks, what I am so desperately trying to tell us, to tell myself and you, that this faith is believing on things that are yet to come. You know, there's a lot of times in our lives that we just go to work and 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 we don't, you know, there's nothing to look forward to. I mean, just go to work. It's the same old, same old. But you let somebody find out that you're going to go someplace and you can live on that for 6 months. My son called me the other day and he said, Dad, he said, you remember that trip you took up to Alaska fishing up by Hoonah, Alaska? I said, yes. I said, Ketchikan. I said, yes. He said, how'd you like to do it again? He said, I just talked to the Sea Otter Lodge up there and they want you to come with me and go fishing again. And Tim Murray Comer, very good friends of ours, and last time I went up there was with Marcia, and Marcia and I, and she helped fish me. It was a terrible thing that ever happened in my life. But we had a lot of fish to bring home, amen. You know, girls can catch fish because their hands don't stink, you know, or something wrong going on. Your hands stink or something. Them girls, they can catch fish. So I don't care. I got fish in the boat. I'm happy, amen. Well, anyway, you invited me. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the last in August. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, all of us ought to have something that we look forward to. That's what faith is all about. Faith is a substance not seen. We're looking forward to it. That's the way in our Christian lives. Otherwise, we believers would not have hope. And we certainly would lose heart of this messed up, crazy, sin-sick world. Good night. If I don't have heaven to look forward to, and if I don't have heaven to look forward to when I'm tired and when I just seem like I can't even get up out of bed and seem like I just don't even have the strength to get out of my chair to go to bed, amen. We as Christians have this faith, this substance, that someday I'm going to rest. Someday I don't have to worry about the tears anymore. Someday I don't have to worry about the troubles of my life anymore. Someday I don't have to worry about the taxes and the... Oh, my son is bugging me about them taxes. Get them done. That drives me crazy, amen. Someday we don't have to do that, amen. Someday we're going to get to go to heaven. And all the troubles. That's why I said many times, what's so wrong with heaven, amen? What's the problem? You know, thank God for heaven. We got something to look forward to. Hey, you know what? Some of us have been struggling a little longer than some of you have. But one of these days, struggle's going to be over. And that's that faith that we look forward to. So, that which is promised, the things that are laid up, and in particular, the things hoped for by those Old Testament saints, was Christ. They were looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking. They had faith. Did they see Him? No. But they had faith to see Him. The hope. As we are looking for the eternal glory land of happiness. Glory to God. In His New Testament saints, we are looking for more grace. We're looking for the resurrection of the dead. We're looking for our eternal life, eternal rest forever in heaven. Listen again to it. Now, faith is the substance. Substance means it's got something there. The substance of things hoped for. So, it is faith. Faith is the substance. The word substance means hopostia, which is the Greek word, which means to stand under. In other words, you can get under it without it falling down on you. Amen. It's the foundation. Faith is the foundation which all our hopes and futures are built on. You have a hope. You say, well, I can't see it. I can't either. That's why it's called faith. And we know that God cannot lie. And He said, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. So there's your faith. There's the substance. We just don't see it yet. But there's a promise. We're looking forward to it, amen. Secondly, it is the evidence or our conviction or our persuasion for the things that are not seen. Without faith, we Christians would be so limited. We would be in such a very narrow world. We would only comprehend the things by which our senses only experience. And if that's all I have in this life, what I smell, what I see, what I hear, what I touch, that ain't much when it comes to heaven, amen. Therefore, fellow Christians, if the Bible is to be trusted, and if the Bible is to be believed, and if the Bible is to be taken by the faith, we must, and by the way, this is the command of the Scriptures, that we should not let our... Here's some things. Number one, we should not let our friendship get in the way of our faith. There are some people who want to get in your way. Some friends in your life that will keep you from believing the things that God promised. Hey, the Bible says, but seek ye first. The Bible says that we are to stand for God and what He has. Secondly, we should not let our finances get us in the way of our faith. So we shouldn't let our friends get in our way, our friendship. We shouldn't let our finance get in our way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient is the day is the evil thereof. God says, let me tell you something. You just take care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's plenty of evil today to worry about, let alone worry what the evil is going to be tomorrow. Amen? So live day to day, every day. We should also not let our families get in our way of our faith. There's some families like getting your way in your faith. Some families go boo-hoo you and bah-ha-ha-ha you about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, don't you let them get in your way. Bible said, he that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So God said, hey, Don't let your friendship get in your way. Don't let your finances get in your way. And he said, don't let your family get in your way. Be careful. Be careful. Some of you guys, you scare me to death. You go home for a month. Go home a month and you're with your family. You don't darken the church doors. I'll tell you what, you get out of that habit of going to church, man, it's awful hard to get started again. Oh, yeah. It's very hard to get started again. And don't let your fear get in the way of your faith. Paul begged his friends in the faith to pray for him that he would have holy boldness. Can you imagine? Some people think that Paul the Apostle started at least 40, if not more, churches in his lifetime. I forget how many languages he could speak. He was bold like nobody else was bold. He was the greatest missionary ever hit this world. Amen. But yet he said, hey, folks, pray for me. They got to give me boldness. I think he figured something out. Amen. Satan wants to scare the fire out of us. Satan wants to get us not to believe that God answers our prayer, and that is called not having faith in him. The third basic, so we have knowledge, know everything we can, that I may know him. We have faith. Now, number three, we have the basic of the Christian life is love. We see the knowledge is very important, basic Christianity. And if we know him, and we have faith in him, but this is the standard that we must live by. But knowledge and faith are only comes to life when we have love. I mean, to know him and have faith in him, but to make it all come to life, you've got to have love. It should be the desire all in the ministry to build up young Christians' heart with a burning passion of love for their Lord Jesus Christ. That's our desire. That's the ministry, is trying to get people to have a passion for the love of Jesus Christ. A great passion. Jesus answered the prayer who tried to trick him in the question of God. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And Jesus summarized it all. At the end there, he said, love of God and love your neighbor. How can these things take care of all everything? Well, the first four commandments have to do how the children of Israel treated God. The Ten Commandments, first commandment, safeguard Israel's special revelation to God. The remaining six protect individuals within the community and promote their well-being. I want people to love their neighbor. I want my neighbor to love me, amen? Love thy neighbor as thyself. I got a neighbor. He's the neatest guy. And I got the motorcycles, and he's got the hot rod cars. And you can both tell who is starting up their vehicles or their bikes. I fire my old Harley up, blah, 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 and he turns around the corner and smiles and waves at me. He fires up that 442 he's got over there, the Oldsmobile. The 3/4 inch cam, I mean, it is a hog. He's got two of them, one hard top and one convertible. And he's got a 1966 Impala 427, 409 or 427, I don't know what, but it's sure noisy, man. And we like each other. And when the snow really gets deep, I take my four-wheeler and back right up into his driveway, and I plow out his big old driveway. But when it's just a skiffer, I hear him outside. Wee, wee. He's got this thing with an electric on, and he's blowing my snow off my sidewalk. Man, I love my neighbor, amen? I like my neighbor. I like him when he fires that car up and makes noise with it, amen. I hope he does the same to me, amen. So when Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, he was speaking about the first four commandments. And then he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He was speaking about the last six commandments to have to do with the promoting of peace and well-being in our community. We need that, amen. We need people in our communities to love one another. Amen. We need them to protect us and watch out for us. When I'm going away, I always go to my two neighbors next to me and a neighbor across from me. I said, hey, I'm going to be gone. You see any crazy stuff going on over there? Shoot them. But anyway, they shot Jim Holloman, Donahue three times last year. But anyway, the fourth thing. So we got knowledge and we've got faith and then we got love. Now the fourth thing is this, obedience. Obedience. A lot of people don't like this. Because God calls us to be obedient. Amen. Let me be very clear here. You cannot displace love with obedience. You can't displace it. You have to be obedient. True love has laws. I'm glad that the law said that I'm not to have anybody else except my wife. That's the law. And my wife is not to have anybody else except me. That's the law. That's the law of love. When I promised her daddy and my brother-in-law that I would keep her unto me as long as both shall live, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, I figured that one out, amen. That poorer one, amen. That was no question, amen. That's a law that we made. And keeping only unto her as we both shall live. That's a law. When you get married, you only got one spouse. You're not supposed to have more than one. You're supposed to be very careful with that. You're supposed to love her. I had a family coming to my office and they were pitching a fuss. I mean, I don't know what one of them sat on a porcupine or something. I don't know what was going on. And one of them burnt on their saddle, but I said, what's going on here? I said, well, then you're supposed to love her. God said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He said, I don't love her. And I said, well, I said, I can't love her as a wife. I said, well, then love her as a friend. God said, you're supposed to love your friends. And he said, I can't do that. I said, well, then, doggone it, then love her like your enemy. Because the Bible does say, love thy enemy as thyself, huh? Well, they started laughing. Thank God they're still together, amen. But oh my goodness. I talked to somebody the other day and they were talking about some things going on in their life. And I said, you know what? I probably should not be a marriage counselor anymore. Because I want to jack slap you to tomorrow. And my wife, for 42 years, had this magnificent, some of you remember us together, this magnificent marriage. The back and forth of talking and wisdom and, well, she was a brilliant lady. And I miss that. And when you're complaining about she don't get to church on time. And I saw a deal the other day. She says, I'm getting so good at being late, I'm just going to keep doing that. Amen. But anyway, that's not a big deal. Okay? There's some things that you make, you know, they say mountain over a molehill, of the things that you gripe and complain about. I told this lady, I said, you know what? I'd just let Jack slack me tomorrow. I said, that's crazy. Are you kidding me? If I could just have one day or one half hour, just a half hour, just to, she could tell me some things that I'm probably not doing right and how I care for her and things. Good night, folks. What's wrong with you? Gripe and complain and yell and scream like a bunch of crazy people. Are you out of your mind? You're just a plumb idiot. That's all you are. Just say it. I'm an idiot. Get over it. Say, honey, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let's try this thing again. Funny how that works. True love has laws. Obedience is the connecting point to love. It's the hinge, it's the fastener, it's the brace, it's the clasp, it's the lock, it's the hook. Obedience is the connecting point of love. Love content is obvious. The Lord God has told us that we are to show our love by our obedience. And this is a specific command. Listen, John chapter 14, verse 15. This is the one, let not your heart be troubled, chapter. Then he goes down farther and he says, I am the way, the truth, life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he goes down farther and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, obedience and love hook together. You ever go down to a drugstore, not a drugstore, go down to the hardware store and get this bonding glue? And there's one gob of stuff here and ungobbed, and boy, it's just slick and milky, and it just, but boy, you put that black stuff and that white stuff together, and I'll tell you what, it bonds. I mean, it's good. That's exactly what obedience and love do. Hey, you've got to be obedient. And if you're obedient, you're showing your love. I'm obedient to my wife to the fact that I'll keep myself from anybody else. Give only to her. As we both shall live. That's so important for us. That's obedience and love. That's a true law that we need to keep. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, read it, verse 23, he will keep my words. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just not up to that. Well, whether you're up to it or not, it's law. God said this is what you're supposed to do, then do it. I used to have a little saying to my boys, hey, boy, if you don't do that, we're going to have a fight, and I know I'm going to win. So you might as well do it. Keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Listen to what he says. Hey, you love me. You keep my will, and these are all the things he's going to add to you. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Where do we find Jesus' sayings? In the Bible. Everything in the Bible is Jesus' sayings. The word which ye have heard is not mine, but the Father which sent me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go thence. God said, Jesus Christ said, listen to me. You need to keep my words. And you need to keep my, because they're my Father's words. And I keep my Father's words, so I expect you to keep my words. Simple as that. John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Boy, you go over where the Ortezes were over in Nepal. You talk about grievous things of their religion, of Buddha, and what else were over there? Hinduism. Grievous. Those Hindus. I asked one. I said, "How many gods?" Yeah. Oh, he said, "We've got over a million." And he said, you miss that, you go down to the, what's that park? Dubois Square. And there's a great big altar there that you worship to that. The Hindus worship it because they don't know who it is. That's a grievous religion. Muslimism is a grievous religion. Grievous. Grievous. Jesus said, His commandments are not grievous. Chapter 13, verse 35 of John, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you
keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm. But this one says, if you love one another. People will know that you're His by loving one another. Boy. That's a pretty tough one. So, the more we know about God, that's knowledge. The more we're willing to trust Him, that's faith. The more we know about God, that's knowledge. The more we will love Him, that's love. And the more that we know about God, that's knowledge, the more that we will obey Him. That's obedience. The fifth basics of this is perseverance. Perseverance is a basic that ties all the rest together and reminds us that the basics are actually a work in progress. Paul the Apostle spoke there in Acts chapter 15, verse 3. He talked about the conversion of the soul. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the brethren. Conversion means it's a noun, it means a turnabout. It's actually, you got to do it.
Turnabout.
Turning from one set of beliefs of behavior to another. It is understood literally turning away from some direction towards another direction. We call it the 180. In order to give one's attention to something else. The word conversion carries the idea of converting something. The military DC-47, the SkyTrain they used to call it back in the military, transport aircraft that was converted to the military. It was a DC-3 airliner. Then after the war, they turned it back to the DC-3 and made a lot of modification. By the way, many of those DC-3s are still flying. Many of them. There are still thousands in the air, amen. But they, at one time, they're military. They put military gear. They put military people. They used them to parachute out. There's a lot of things they did with them, amen. And so that's the idea that we get here about conversion. Christianity begins with instant salvation, amen. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe. Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. And what? Instantaneously. Then begins the lifelong conversion process until he or she is called home to be with God. Christianity is a life of fellowship with God and is not built in one day. There is a process that we're keeping going through. On the base, you keep hearing them. They're going out the missiles and they're going to fix the missiles. They're going to, what do they call them? Upgrade. Right? They're upgrading. Always upgrading. Always upgrading things. All right? That's why as Christians, we ought to be always upgrading. We ought to be finding something new that we can rejoice in. There ought to be something that we can do to serve God even better. We should not just sit there and play, well, I'm saved. And sit on your lazy, amazing grace, amen. Sinclair Ferguson stated that the destiny which a young Christian carves out for himself or herself under the hand of God is almost invariably determined by the ability that he or she gain or to tell the difference between, if they can tell the difference between what brings momentary excitement and stimulation. If they can understand that, this is going to stimulate me right now. This is going to give me excitement right now. This moment. If they can realize that, and the less speculative day after day exercise of the Spirit, which builds Christian character and forms us into the men and women which live, make lasting impressions on society and in the fellowship of the church because they bear fruit that remains. There are some people that just flash. You know, they call it the flash in the pan, amen? Where are they? Boy, I thought they were going to be. Then there's those that just day after day, plod after plod. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Just pounding. Sawing and pounding and sawing and bringing in the food and just kept at it. What you doing, Noah? Building an ark. Boy, it sure looks like it's going to take a long time. It's all I have is time. God told me to build the ark. I'm going to build the ark. Sometimes in your Christian life, it just does not explode like you want it to be. But you know what? That's all they are, just explosions. A lot of noise and a lot of destruction. But the man that just keeps building and building and building and building, word after word, scripture after scripture, deed after deed, serving God. Here's somebody who needs some help. Go help them. This and that, this, that. Hey, God called us a life of faith and trust. So after we have determined the basics of our Christianity are, what should be the next thing? Let me remind you what Paul wrote to the son, his son in the faith, Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said, listen, Timothy, I've told you a lot of things. You have witnessed a lot of things. You heard a lot of things that God has done in my heart and my life. Now, you get out and do the same thing and teach others also. And they, look, I want you to understand it says, commit thou to, what is it? That's the next two words. Faithful men. What's the Marines call? It's a few and what? Huh? Yeah. A few. The proud. There's a lot of people running around. They don't have much faith. A lot of people run around. They're not very faithful. A lot of people run around that you can't be trusted with, spending all your time to put into them and give your soul and give your life to them. He said, hey, Timothy, don't waste your time on some deadheads. You find some faithful men, and then you put your time in those faithful men, and God will bless you for that. Wow. Here we Christians find the basic answer, and we are commit to faithful men and women so that we will teach others also. And here's the deal. We teach by our lips. We teach by our lives. We teach by our talk. We teach by our walk. The classroom of life must come alive. You can hear the teacher teach, and they'd be able to explain spiritual realities of life to his students. But when the student sees the teacher in what he believes, fleshed out, in other words, here he is, fleshed out in his behavior, that's when the student gets it. That's when the student says, oh, I get it. No, I get it. I've sat in a lot of classes. I've done a lot of, I don't know how many hours I've spent in the classroom. I've met a lot of teachers that knew a lot, but they didn't know how to do it. And then I've had some teachers that knew. There was a guy, he was my coach. He's the most brilliant man I ever met in my life. He went to the Schools and Minds University. And his name was Professor Deckert, Wayne Deckert. He'd come to the classroom, and he'd say, students, have you read your lesson today? And hopefully you did. He just made you thirst for more information than you had. He said, all right, let's start off. Number one, the biological, and he'd go on and go on and go on. 1, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4, little A, little B, little A, all through class. Not one note. You know why? He'd studied. And he wanted that class to come alive. I got the best grades of any class in all college from Brother Deckert. Brilliant man. You know why? Because that man had a burning desire to teach his students, and he had a desire to know it before he taught it. Boy. Hey, Jason, how would you like guys like that at your work that would know what they're supposed to do before you have to give them the bottle and burp them? and change their diapers. Wouldn't it be great if you had some men out there and women out there that literally want to learn and to be they're faithful at it. That's what God talking about to us. He says, you know what? Paul says, hey, you don't waste your time on people that aren't faithful. So be busy teaching those that are faithful. Good night. I just looked at my time here. Years ago, a Sunday school teacher was a splendid teacher. He had a number of young boys in his class, and he took great pride in his class. But as fate would have it, he began a new job, and he began to miss Wednesday night Bible studies and Sunday evening services. The observant pastor or the shepherd began to notice his flocks. Some of his flocks were not coming to church on Wednesday night and not coming to church on Sunday night. He pulled a couple of the boys aside that was in his Sunday school class, and he questioned the lack of attendance. To which the boys replied, well, Pastor, our Sunday school teacher, Brother Smith, seemed to be doing all right by just attending Sunday morning. We thought it would be okay, too. God have mercy on those who accept a very crucial responsibility and are unwilling to live up to the book. People watch you. They put their eyes on you. They set their sights on you. And what you do, usually what they do, because they honor you. Let me take the best chapter that summarizes the basic Christianity. It's called Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. It describes men and women who had ups and downs, just like you do. Do you know that? They had trouble just like you did. They had failings just like you did. They had all kinds of things going on. But in their life, they based on knowledge that had, which had been yonder days, somebody said very, very sparse, the knowledge that they had from the Word of God. Yet, we see that they learned, they leaned on God. Their love, although not specifically cited, is an evidence that the extreme act of obedience resulting in the loss of material possessions and even the loss of their own life. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, and they had learned to see everything in time against the backdrop of eternity. And that's what a lot of people miss. All you can think about is today. When's the preacher going to get over so I can get to McDonald's? So I can get to Burger King? I can get the Golden Corral. You know, you miss the backdrop of things in eternity. We're a group of people that just need to keep serving God and give ourselves to God and just keep pounding away. Nail after nail after nail after nail after nail. Just keep at it, keep at it. And one day, it'll be finished. So, until we face the front lines and until we are captured within us, a thirst, a drink of the refreshing fountains of living water, until we have a distaste for the polluted waters of a broken cistern, as Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living water, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Only then will we know that we have invested in our lives and practice a basic godly living which we show off in our lives. Isn't it about time that we cry out for revival in the area of knowledge and faith and love and obedience and perseverance? God give us strength to become champions for the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. There's so many people that just all they can think of is what they're going to do today or what they're going to do tomorrow. Hey, put it in the backdrop of for eternity. Look what's really, look at the big picture. Look at what's really going to happen. Someday God is going to call you before His throne of grace. And He's going to call you at that bema seat and say, what have you done? I gave you life. I gave you strength. I gave you the whole Bible. People clear back in the Old Testament didn't have a whole Bible. Some only had five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all they had. We've given the Bible. We can have it on our iPad. I sit in my truck and on my phone, I just push a button and the Bible's read to me. And I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to the Bible. I'm sure John didn't have that. But I'm listening to the Bible. How the Bible? I don't know how many hundred Bibles I have. I know some people got hundreds of Bibles. They didn't even crack one open. Hey, that's part of faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God. And you've got to know the Bible. And by knowing the Bible, you'll know God. And by knowing God, you'll have faith. And by having faith, you'll have love. And by love, you'll have obedience. I love Him. Obedience. And then by having love, you'll have perseverance. I gotta do this. I gotta make it. One more mile. One more dive. One more step. One more man. One more person. I'm gonna succeed, Lord. Until you take me home, Lord, I'm gonna keep serving you. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us, Lord, as we have looked at the basics of our life. We could be champions. There's no reason why we should be losers, but champions if we only get a hold of these few little things that this wonderful Bible tells us. Lord, help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. I really don't understand all the things you were talking about today. I don't get it. Well, I'm tell you what. If you invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can get it. I promise you that. If you're here today and say, Preacher, I don't know if I die today, I go to heaven. Why don't you invite Jesus today? Why don't you ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior? Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord and believe in baptism. You need to take care of that. You say, Preacher, we need to be members of this church. Yes, you do. You need to become part of this place to serve God at. Why don't you do what God asks you to do today? I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Everyone standing, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come at this time, please? Terrible thing to go through life without Jesus Christ. Terrible thing. You're today and say, Preacher, I am not saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. Oh my goodness, what a terrible thing that is. Not to know Christ as your Savior. He loves you, gave everything to you. If you just invite Him to come to your heart. Secondly, you're here today and say, Preacher, I need to follow Lord and believer's baptism. That's down in the water, up out of water. I haven't done that. Well, Jesus thought it was pretty important. He walked 150 miles. He went 75 miles one way and 75 miles back after He got baptized. I expect that's pretty important for Jesus Christ. Get that. I figured He wants you to be baptized. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I want to become a member of the church. I want to serve God. This is where I want to serve the Lord. Why don't you come at this time?
I need some help. Miss my brother very much. I haven't contact with him at all.
Yeah. Someday you will.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah. That's what I preach about. That's faith. We know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Someday we're going to get there. Father, I pray for my friend, Kelly. I pray you to help him as he misses her, as he will be as the girl's wife and family. Watch over her from this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. Dear God, please get a hold of our hearts and lives. Help us to live this few little basic things in our lives, these five little things that will completely change and rejuvenate our life for you. Lord, help us as we go to our homes. Keep us safe. Be with those that are sick today. Watch over and care for them. And Lord, bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock to the services. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.